fan. Time to do the Crown topics of the day. First time ever, BT, since we've been doing the show together with the Crown. It's going to be all four here. We got the Jets with their miserable performance yesterday, the Giants with their big win, the Yankees with a win in Game 1 on Saturday. They'll get set for Game 2 at the stadium tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound, and the Mets getting a split in Philadelphia. We started, though, talking about the pathetic performance from the Jets.
Yeah, and listen, now they've got to fix this immediately. It's already, warning flares all over the sky. The Jets look broken. If they are broken, that maybe remains to be seen. Could it get worse? Yeah, it could. There's a couple of higher-profile national, lone games coming up. The Bills on Monday. You got the Steelers down the road on a Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers is getting hit an inordinate amount of times. He looks very gimpy. Now, he's hanging in there, and he's taking shots, and he's getting up, and I respect that. But Aaron Rodgers has not played very well. And there are so many systematic issues with the Jets that no matter how they try to fix this, I don't know if it's going to be enough to satisfy what ails them. Because is it the run blocking that's problematic, or is it the running back, specifically Breece Hall, more than Allen, not finding the holes? I don't know. Is it a lack of creativity with the play calling? I surmise that that's a massive part of it. And I talked about that 4th-and-2 play when they went for it and he was 7 or 8 yards back, which is just nonsensical stupidity. So you have all these issues with the Jets. Sauce Gardner is a really good player. I feel like he's almost a little overstated at this point. Can you make some plays? I mean, it's one thing not to give up a lot of plays. I understand that. But can you actually make some plays? Can you intercept the ball? Can you jar the ball loose from somebody? Can you make somebody put it on the turf? The Jets are incredibly frustrating right now. And the biggest fear, Sal, and I don't know if this is the case, but I'm much more worried about this than I have been at any point this year. There is a chance that Rodgers is just done. And if that's the case, then it's over.
That's the biggest problem. Rodgers played maybe the worst game that I've ever seen him play, making horrible throws. It wasn't the sole reason that they lost, but if Rodgers is going to play like that, 3 interceptions. In a good year, Rodgers doesn't throw 3 interceptions. A good year. It's one game. The Giants, the opposite, BT, they go and shock the world in Seattle without Malik Nabers, who's been their offense this entire year, without Singletary, who's been a nice addition to the Giants' running game, and they just control the line of scrimmage. They dominated the Seattle Seahawks. Score didn't show that they dominated that game, but they did dominate a game that they were undermanned, underdogs in. Daniel Jones was terrific. For me, though, it's just about Brian Daboll. Like, that should be the final proof that Brian Daboll is the guy, that he knows how to coach in this league. Whether they're going to get enough players eventually, whether the quarterback is going to change eventually, those are different things. Shane, I think, still under evaluation, although signs are pointing upward. The Giants' win yesterday, to me, should firm up the stability in their organization with the head coach in Brian Daboll, because you don't win that game if you don't have a good game plan going in without Malik Nabers and being undermanned to begin with. So it was a perfectly executed game. Again, another brilliant game plan going in and perfectly executed. The Giants are a well-coached football team who now all of a sudden have a season at 2-3 after 5 weeks.
A lot to love. No Nabers, no Singletary. They had 15 more minutes time of possession. I love the story, the anecdote that came out after the game where They Daboll lit into them. Instead of being satisfied that they were, at a tough venue against a pretty good team in Seattle and they were tied at 10, they're like, no. Or he was like, no, this is not good enough. We should be winning. We're playing better. And, so I'm sure the film will be very kind to the Giants. You mentioned Shane, whether it's Tyrone Tracy,
yeah.
Theo Johnson, middle-round pick out of Penn State tight end. You're starting to see some other influence on the roster now. Deontay Banks, who I like, but I don't love. I like him,
yeah.
And I'm intrigued by him. I thought he held up very well against Metcalf, who only had, 4 or 5 catches for 45, 50 yards. So the Giants got a win that, quite frankly, I'm going to be very honest with everybody here. There was such a juggle yesterday, starting with the Jets and into the Mets. I thought there was a good chance I would maybe watch one quarter of the Giants game because they just would get rolled and there wouldn't be much more reason to watch it. And it was the exact opposite. You had to watch the final play. That is an outstanding win by the Giants.
Exact same thing. And then, of course, Saturday night we had the Yankees where, the Yankees got a win, BT, in Game 1 against the Royals. Maybe I'm wrong for expecting expecting more, but I expected a lot more. And I think that was more of a discouraging performance than anything else, starting with Gerrit Cole, who somehow got beat up by the Kansas City Royals and that weak lineup. Royals not doing themselves any favors on the base paths as well, trying to help the Yankees and Cole out. Yanks got the benefit of some calls as well, barely being able to beat the Royals in that game one. Cole not good. Judge 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts right out of the gate. Second and third, nobody out in the first inning. Place ready to go nuts. And the Yankees don't score a run. Stand on the base pass. To me, too much bad, even in a game one win for the Yanks.
There was a lot of frustrating elements, but I do think that you glossed over some of the good stuff here. Now, I'll tell you this. Like, with Gerrit Cole not pitching well at all, do you feel, you know, at least from a Yankee perspective, bolstered in terms of confidence that the bullpen was really, really good? Maybe you do, because maybe you look at the Cole performance as a bit of an aberration. Even though he hasn't been great this year, he was off for 9 days, maybe a little attributable to rust, whatever. Holmes was good. Canley was good. Luke Weaver was really good. All right, Judge was problematic. Again, he's got to end this. The more it goes, the worse it's going to get in terms of him tightening up. He's got to eventually, and hopefully it's tonight, but Judge was a mess with the three whiffs, but Austin Wells was really good. Verdugo was really good. I don't know how much they ride Cabrera playing first base. He showed some defensive chops there, and even Juan Soto, who, and no surprise, he's Juan Soto, comes out and bangs three hits and guns somebody down at the plate. So there was great energy in the stadium. The Yankees were far from perfect. The Royals are, on the scale of playoff teams, not a very dangerous team, and the Yankees had a lot wrong, but they also had a lot right.
And a split weekend for the Mets, where they come back, another incredible comeback to finish off the week on Saturday and get that win. Zach Wheeler has to leave the game. The Mets come back against the bullpen in just incredible fashion, although at that particular point you expect it. And then yesterday, the Mets unfortunately blew a 3-0 lead and then a 4-3 lead late. For me, the main culprit is Edwin Diaz. He's got to be able to do his job. If he can't get Bryce Harper out in big spots, then the Mets have no chance. And that's what happened yesterday. But even with that crushing loss, the Mets did what they needed to, BT, get a split in Philadelphia, now come home, and I expect them to finish the Phillies off in games 3 and 4.
That place is going to be insane. I mean, the Mets have not been there for a while. Now, you said he was unable, Diaz, to get out Bryce Harper. I don't know, because he didn't even try. Mm. And that's what bothers you. Again, I said this to start that once we got into the Mets right around 11 for the first time. I said, I get it. I can compartmentalize the two games in Philly and feel good about this because the Mets are doing a lot right, but I can also sit there and say you should be up 2-0. Now, the Mets, they can be down 0-2, and the way this team is built, their energy and their lack of quit and their grinding of at-bats, 0-2 counts, I mean, they're playing out of their minds, and it's who they are. I don't even know that it's necessarily like an overachievement at this point because they've done it for so long and they look very comfortable being uncomfortable. But when your closer, Diaz, blows it like that and it was the right move, there's nothing with Mendoza.
Yep.
There's nothing tactical. You had Buto. You didn't have a lot of other arms. You used McGill. I thought that he managed that the right way. Your all-star has got to get the job done. He did not. It hurts, but I think the Mets are still in good shape.
Yeah, complaining about using Diaz in that spot just makes no sense. How about Diaz actually does his freaking job for once? And it's miraculous week by the Mets. It wouldn't have happened if Diaz didn't screw up in the first place a week ago today in Atlanta. But it is going to be fun to see the Mets return home, which feels like it hasn't happened in a month.
Yeah, the weather's going to be good.
It's been a while. I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to go out there tomorrow night. Of course, games 3 and games 4 at Citi Field Tuesday and Wednesday at 5:08. Both games.
You Yankees, like that? You like the 5:08?
I don't know. It's weird, dude. Mess up the whole week. I mean, it's just a weird start time. And you get the Yankees tonight, what, 7:38 first pitch?
7:38, yeah. So and then off tomorrow. The Yankees are off tomorrow, then off to Kansas City.
Think about this week that we have.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yankees game 2 tonight. Mets game 3 Tuesday. Mets game 4 Wednesday. Yankees game 3 Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then potentially game 4 for the Yankees Thursday, potentially game 5 for the Mets Saturday.
Jets Monday night with pretty much a must-win game against the Bills, where as much as we talk about the Jets mess, if they actually win that game, they're in first place.
Giants Sunday night.
Yes.
So we have Giants Sunday night Bengals.
Yes.
Jets Monday night Bills. Potentially NLDS, ALCS. Woo! This is the time to be a New York sports fan. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you at Town Fair Tire that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. A mix of calls. Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, whatever is on your mind. Joe is in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I a little pushback on the Gerrit Cole. I know he had a bad game, but honestly, the guy has shown that he's a creature of habit. I mean, I know it was a game last year where I think Billy Crystal threw out the first pitch.
Yes.
And he got all bent out of shape.
I remember that. You know, was that last year or 2 years ago? Yeah. Either way, I remember that. Yeah, I remember it.
So I think he'll have a better game once he's, you know, back to his normal routine. But the rest, I think, has killed us. You know, they're getting out of routines and stuff like that. And now with all these off days in between, I don't know. I'm just hoping it doesn't mess with their flow.
Hey, Joe, newsflash. The Yankees aren't the only one with this intermittent schedule. It's called, you know, postseason baseball. Now,
How'd Zach Wheeler do with the extra rest?
Yeah, he looked pretty good, man. He's filthy in October. He really is. I don't like the fact that the Yankees didn't play in succession like the Mets.
Yeah,
you know, Mets
stupid.
Fans got 1-2, and I wanted the Yankees yesterday, although I'm happy that we have them tonight. But, like, I don't get that interruption between 1-2.
I hate it. Now, yes, it did us a favor yesterday because otherwise, it just would have been complete anarchy with the Jets in the morning, Mets, Yanks, and Giants. But yeah, I mean, a series should start with game one, followed by game two the next day. I'm on the one-off day for travel, but that's it. What's the reasoning for that, TV?
I'm sure it's all based on the broadcast schedule here. And yeah, Costas is, you know, I know you haven't been bagging on him, but I'm not trying to disrespect him. He's just not an enjoyable listen. He just sounds like it's 1950 and it's not. I don't think, and I love Darling's amazing. I don't think they're a good match. I think Roddy's trying. I think that Bob's speed, it's too slow. And I'm not loving the broadcast. I'm just not. And I said that before the storm. We found out it was Costas. I'm like, because he had a couple of issues 2 years ago with the Guardians. He owned it. In his defense, he did own that. But I do not think that that's a very well-oiled combo between Darling and Costas.
Darling, I loved. I didn't notice it was that bad from Costas. Tonight, I will be in the building, so I'm not going to be watching that broadcast. Looking forward to going out to Yankee Stadium and getting a feel. And I do expect, I'd hope a better performance from the bats tonight. I don't know about Carlos Rodon, but I would expect a better performance from the bats. Becky is in Morristown. What's up, Becky?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Okay. I have a couple of Met questions. First of all, with Senga, can you see Mendy using him in an inning or two, kind of like just to blow people away with that ghost work, kind of almost like an R.A. Dickey type thing?
Coming out of the bullpen? Out of the bullpen, you mean?
Yeah.
No.
Boy, he has not pitched much, and I think that that's a little reckless to start messing around with the schedule.
They don't want him out of the bullpen. We talked about that on Friday. He was never going to be out of the bullpen, but basically you got what you would get out of the bullpen just to start the game. Senga started the game. He gave you two innings. Now, if you flipped it and had Peterson start and then go to Senga, you'd want that same result, but Senga's just not, he's not a bullpen guy. He's going to be starting. So you'll see him start, assuming if they move on, I would think he might get another start. But I don't think the Mets are itching him to get the ball. I think it just worked out perfectly. He's not going to be out of the bullpen, though, Becky. I wouldn't think.
Well, I love Peterson. I mean, I think he's more than earned, another start. You know, he's been terrific.
Yeah,
go ahead. So how do you think they're going to utilize McNeil ever if he's on the bench now?
You know, it's funny, and thanks for the call there, Becky. Good stuff. Sal and I were talking about the McNeil stuff during the break. For those of you who missed it, you know, he's working his way back here in terms of clearance. And when I brought it up to Sal, this was off the air, as I said, Sal said to me, he said, who do you want on the roster? You know, who are you taking off the roster? Acuna? And my answer was no, because Acuna can do more. He's certainly a little more defensive. Well, actually, McNeil has good defensive versatility as well. But he's just a more explosive, dynamic base runner. So advantage Acuna. But if you don't use him a ton, that's somewhat minimized. And then we started messing around and say, maybe DH him. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? Rather, you know, than the Winker or Martinez against a righty, I know McNeil has bothered a lot of Met fans, but he could still capture this if he's healthy.
And when he last left, remember, he had a horrific start to the season.
He was hitting well at the end.
But he was starting to play much better. It just gives him another option. Even if, I don't know how you could justify at any point taking Iglesias out of the lineup.
No.
But if they felt
way.
Like, you know, it gives him a better matchup. And by the way, the other thing you could do is potentially move. You keep Iglesias in the lineup, move him to third, McNeil at second, and you have Vientos DH.
You could do that.
It'll upgrade your defense and upgrade your DH spot.
What about right field? I mean, I'm not looking to sit down Marte at this point, but
I mean, Tyrone Taylor's been getting a ton of play, so maybe you sit him down for. I think it would give them some more options.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, maybe you take Acuna off the roster for that. I guess it'll be a good problem to have because it won't happen. I wouldn't think this series is going to be next series. Obviously, he's not on the roster, so
yeah, it'd have to be next one.
Yeah, so it'd be a good problem to have because yeah, you'd be in the NLCS. They'll figure that out. When
you got more games, you have another option potentially. It's not a bad thing.
Daniel's in Brooklyn. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Daniel?
Taking a call. I got a couple of things I'd like to discuss regarding Jets. You've touched on it, which makes it a little bit more infuriating. The fact of the matter is that we all know Saleh is incompetent to lead this team. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, how many times have we got to see the same movie? They're never ready to play, like BT said. Every single game that they need to come out strong, they just fall flat, like San Francisco. You want to lose that game, okay, but they just didn't even show up. Yesterday, versus Denver, I mean, you cannot lose that game. Like I hear Jet fans that are like, oh, if Zuerlein hits that field goal, that game should never have even gotten to that point. You got to blow Denver out of the building. You got Bo Nix, who barely even threw for 70 yards. I mean, it just can't happen. Yeah. And then he sits there at the post-game podium talking to us like we're a bunch of kindergarten morons.
Who,
like,
Saleh? You mean Saleh?
Yeah. Saleh, why are we not using Braylon Allen? Yeah. Oh, it's something we got to look into. Something you got to look into. I mean, every single Jet fan is pulling their hair out watching the game.
I mean, if I never hear Robert Saleh say another word, it'll be too many for me. I can't listen to him anymore.
Yeah, I'm not putting yesterday all on him, but he's just not a good coach.
He's terrible.
To me, yesterday's on Rodgers more so than anything else. You can't have three interceptions, but also to your point, BT, you can't throw the football 60 times.
You can't, 54 dropbacks. I mean, in the rain. Come on. Everybody knows he was banged up going into the game. He's further banged up now. The ankle, the knee. It looked like his hamstring was bothering him as well.
They're not a well-coached team. They don't look good. If Rodgers' not perfect, they don't have a chance. Like, think about all the stuff that goes wrong with this team.
Yeah. Now, and again, this is not to exonerate Rodgers. Rodgers played really poor yesterday. He did have about four throws. Like that throw in the end zone, was that to Lazard or Mike Williams, where he threw it low and it was kind of away from the defender? Now, that was a dime. The one down the sideline to Lazard, phenomenal, drops it. The first quarter, Lazard bobbles off his face. I mean, even when Lazard catches the ball, it looks like he's going to drop the ball. I don't know. So, again, not to exonerate him, that was a horrendous game by Rodgers, but there were four more plays out there, potentially a touchdown, probably 60 or 70 more yards of passing that the Jets could have had. But if he gets a wide-open Garrett Wilson, nobody's saying about anything. I mean, he's wide open.
Yeah, and the Jets, the sad part is the Jets could have won that game yesterday. So, really, to me, though, the damage was done the week before because you could excuse a tough loss to Minnesota. You could excuse one bad performance from Aaron Rodgers to a good football team, very good defense. You can't excuse that after what happened a week ago on Sunday. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls. Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets, 888-808-1019. I don't remember, BT, a week or a time as crazy as this. It's not even just a week. I'm looking ahead to this week, but last week was just as nuts as well. Think about what we have here with now both the Jets and the Giants, because we were worried the Giants were going to fall off a little bit. And if the Giants lost yesterday, and you're right, like we're watching along thinking, all right, well, they're going to get rolled here, especially the way that it started with the should-have-been Giant touchdown instead turned into a Seahawk touchdown. Once that game gets out of hand in favor of Seattle, you shut it off, and then really the Giants' season starts to become
an afterthought.
Especially now, right, an afterthought. And yet the Giants have a terrific performance, and even with that blunder, they win that football game, a dominant performance. They're 2-3 after 5 weeks with legit hope. The Jets are disappointing 2-3, but still have some hope. Both teams playing primetime games this week. Oh, and you have the Mets and Yankees in the division series together. This is like I've never experienced, or at least I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. The Mets and Yankees haven't played in the playoffs together right on the same day since
06.
Right, and then they didn't win a game on the same day since 2000. That changed on Saturday where they both won. This is historic what's going on here in New York.
It's awesome. I actually read doing the Saturday show and you did the Sunday show, but when I was on Saturday, I read the lineup from 06 for both the Yanks and the Mets and just some of the names.
Mets was loaded.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, just named like Bobby Abreu batting second or third for the Yankees. Yeah. Like A-Rod was batting eighth. That was the Tigers series. It's so long ago. And every time you bring this up where, you know, we have the sporting nirvana, I got to throw in the Knicks and the Rangers. Not necessarily today because it's not necessarily the season yet. But even yesterday, like I was going through the Mets were on FS1. And the way my cable carrier is set up, even though I usually just go for, I was going from FS1 to channel CBS for, right. for the Giants in Seattle, and I would just hit last, but sometimes I hit the wrong thing because I don't have my glasses or whatever. I hit the wrong button. I gotta fix it. And I'm going through the channels that I zoom through MSG, and I see the Knicks are playing, and I'm like, ah, hey, you know how they always run old games? I'm like, ah, Charlotte Hornets, what happened here? I'm thinking it's something from last year. Maybe Brunson dropped 50. I'm like, oh, wait, this is today. So I even got to see Karl Anthony Towns for like a minute in a Knick uniform, which, yeah, I mean, you line it all up here. It's a lot of fun.
The Rangers.
It's great.
Sorry, BT.
That's
Rangers
okay.
open this week, Wednesday night.
Wednesday
in Pittsburgh, and then their home opener, I think, is Saturday for the Rangers. And then the Knicks won't be too far behind.
And the other thing,
we got to get out to some games together at the Garden.
Well, and not just the Islander games. Like we went to the Islanders last year. We got to go to the Garden. We got to check them out.
I'm going to try to set the Islander thing was great for like, it was good for the fan behind the scenes. We go hang out like a Christmas type thing. I'm going to try to set that up again.
That was a good
with
win
the
too.
Islanders.
Remember they were down a bunch of goals and they came back and scored like three goals late?
Went down to the ice and watched it. We got to do that. We have to text our buddy Ledecky and see if we can make that happen and see if Gio can find a date that would work. Maybe Boomer will grace us with his presence.
It doesn't seem like Boomer's going to be interested in that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's lame. It's a station thing. He's the leader of the station. Come on. Anyway,
I got a question regarding Boomer. I love Booms. I'm sure this will make it his way. This will make it, you know, to him, and hopefully he doesn't take it the wrong way because it's certainly not a diss, but it is an honest question. Where is Boomer today?
They're at his charity golf event, right?
How could we never get invited?
Yeah, I'm probably just an afterthought, I would think, at that particular point.
We don't get invited.
Well, I mean, we do have a show to do.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I know. Logistics, you know, not that we would have been able to do it.
You're right.
But, you know, so I'm good enough to pump 45 miles for you, Boom, to raise the money with the bike tour. I'm like good enough to come and shoot a 99 at whatever course you're at.
that's an interesting point. Didn't think of it that way. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Christine is in break. What's up, Christine?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Couple things. I think... Robert Saleh needs to take a page out of Mike Tomlin's playbook, right? My favorite head coach of all time. Tired of Saleh being a statue on the sidelines, right? You guys have talked about this before. We've talked about it. There is a great clip out on Mike Tomlin. I believe he's talking to one of his O-line men. I don't know the context. His number is 54.
Okay.
But he is disciplining him. And he is pulling him aside and saying, hey, here's what you did wrong. This game is not about you. It's about the team. And there's a great clip on Mike Tomlin disciplining one of his players. I see none of that from Saleh. Saleh needs to look at some of these other head coaches. Again, Mike Tomlin's my favorite, right?
Yep.
We want volunteers, not hostages. He does nothing. He does nothing from a disciplinary action.
Christine, here's the issue, Christine. Christine, let me jump in. Here's the issue. You're not wrong. But the problem is, if you want to be a disciplinarian, you've got to be that guy from day one. And that is the issue now. If Robert Saleh ever tried to, you know, talk tough or go through the media and start calling guys out or start flipping out on the sideline and holding players, I don't know, actually accountable, which would be nice. Guess what? It's not going to work. Because it's not going to come across as authentic. You've got to be who you are from day one.
He's lost.
It's too late.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think through in my mind as you're saying all this. Like, does he even have that in him? Is he showing a different side in that locker room than he shows in the media? I don't think that he is because we saw some of it last year on Hard Knocks. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
He kisses their ass is what he does. He really does. He gives them too much. Too much room, too much freedom. I know it's not 1970 or, you know, where, yeah, I get it. Times have changed. Athletes have changed. The dynamic between coaches and athletes have changed. I understand the world evolves, and that's good. But you still have to be the source of discipline when it's required. And not only are the Jets very uncreative from an offensive perspective, but from a team perspective, they're very sloppy and undisciplined. So he's got every right to air it out. The problem is, if he does it now, what are we, almost four years in? They look at him like, who's this guy? This isn't you.
He's in over his head. He's been overmatched since day one. And the reality is, when you get a job like that, you can't be a coordinator anymore. There are different levels. Like, everybody knows this. In whatever field you're in life, you want to move up. And certain roles, as you move up, are different than you. And you have to adapt and be different in whatever that role is. Robert Saleh is still acting like his mindset was, well, I was a successful defensive coordinator, and I'm going to be that, but just be labeled as the head coach. And that's how he acts, like a coordinator. You can't do that as a head coach. You just can't do it, especially not here. You just can't do it. Like, Brian Daboll's not acting like an offensive coordinator. He's acting like a head coach. It's a different job. And Saleh is, now again, I don't know this to be factual, but just based on everything that I've seen and how he acts, being buddy-buddy with all the players, being defense first, I think he's a defensive coordinator who's labeled a head coach, and you see that play out on the field where you see one aspect of things a little bit better than others, and just overall a looseness to it and a lack of discipline and accountability that's killing this team.
The amount of interaction that he has with his players on game day is embarrassing. Do you see Sean Payton light up his quarterback yesterday? Yeah, how'd Bo Nix play yesterday? Pretty well, right? You see Sean Payton light him up?
He said, I didn't see that.
He absolutely lit him up, undressed him, like undressed him publicly. And then what Sean Payton said after the game was, hey, that's my love, is a quote, that's my love language. You know, maybe it's a little bit much for some, but that's me. I love Bo Nix. He knows I have his back. Yeah, because the moment Sean Payton walked in Denver's building, he was Sean Payton. He was the authority voice, and there's a level of expectations in terms of compliance and being buttoned up. And Robert Saleh, again, you know, he's a great guy, but he's tried to be everybody's friend. And when you try to be friends with everybody, you don't command respect.
Anthony's on Long Island. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, boys? Happy Monday.
You too.
What's up, buddy?
Just want to talk about the Mets a little bit. I'm pretty ecstatic that they left Philly with the split. We could talk about last night's game, this, that, and the other. I don't need to see Harrison Bader play anymore, except for his gloves in the ninth inning when they're trying to secure a lead. For me, Taylor deserves the playing time over him, hands down, right?
I didn't mind giving him an opportunity yesterday against the lefty.
I was surprised he started. It didn't, like, bother me, I was a little surprised.
Taylor's been cold. I had no problem with it.
It's pretty bad, though. He really looks like he doesn't belong at the plate at all.
Swings and misses a ton.
I'm not saying I would do it again. I'm saying that I didn't have a problem with it yesterday.
Right. I'm not saying this is you guys, right? I'm just saying in general, I've been seeing this a lot since yesterday. People second-guessing Mendoza, this, that, and the other. I need my fellow Mets fans to realize something. That guy is the National League Manager of the Year, hands down. And it's not because I'm a homer. It's because look at what he dealt with this year as a rookie manager. All right? I had him pegged as the next Mickey Callaway. You name him. You know, the guy worked wonders. Nobody on our pitching staff is an ace.
Well, what's the main issue? I'm with you, Anthony. I think BT and I both are with you. But I just want to know, before we let you go, what's the main issue that you're hearing that fans have with it from yesterday?
Bullpen usage?
No. See, here's the thing, right? Mets fans, and I could be one of them, as you guys know, I went crazy on Pete. By the way, everybody, you're welcome for that 3-run bomb. I'm the reason why I'm joking. Yeah. you know, what do you expect this guy to do? Edwin Diaz, right? Whether we like it or not, all right, he's our closer. He's our best bullpen guy. What do you want to see? Phil Maton giving a batting practice to Bryce Harper? Listen, he's got to pitch that guy in the most crucial part of the game.
And that's why I asked, Ann, thank you for the call. No, that's why I asked, because I thought he was referring to that. I told you yesterday, I felt like there was some questions from, whether it's social media or just in general, I don't know if it was people texting me or what, but I get the feel that people had an issue with going to Diaz in that spot, or at least just a thought like, hey, is it too early to go to him? Absolutely not. I would have done it potentially in the sixth inning when I didn't like Severino facing Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to get him out there. You're crossing your fingers, hoping against hope that somebody can get through that part of the lineup. It's the only lineup that can beat you. And with guys on, once Turner gets that hit against Severino, you're thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble here. So I wouldn't have had a problem if he did it in the sixth inning with Diaz. Problem with that is, you know, they're going to come around later again.
Well, that's what he talked about in his post-game press conference. I told you, I watched his entire thing. I wanted to hear his rationale behind it, even though I was, even in real time, I'm like, no, you got to go here. This is the moment. This is the game, top of the order. You got Turner out. You didn't challenge Bryce Harper. You didn't show any sack. You just didn't. I'm sorry. I don't know how to say it. You didn't show any sack. It's rare back. You got a nasty slider. You throw 99. Don't challenge Bryce Harper. Don't nibble.
But he's the softest, weakest somewhat successful closer I've ever seen. And I'm cleaning that up. Believe me, yesterday off the air in my house was a lot more.
He must be going nuts. Yeah. But Mendoza, the way he lined it up, he's like, listen, I just didn't have many options. So even going with Severino the extra inning, I liked it because when I listened to his explanation, you knew he had a little McGill, he had Diaz for the big moment, and that was and Bouton, and that was kind of it. So I thought his moves in real time were good, and I thought his post-game explanation matched.
Right.
He was fully in charge. It just didn't work out.
And Buto didn't have it, which is fine, so then he was quick to go to Diaz.
Yeah, Buto didn't have it.
Yeah, which is whatever. I mean, I like, actually, Tyler McGill, he looked, even I know he got beat yesterday, he looks nasty, dude.
He's got good stuff.
He's throwing heavy, inside, nasty pitches, 98 up and in against a right-hander from McGill.
Yeah.
I think he could be a weapon here. I would trust him more than Buto right now. Buto got tattooed the other night in Milwaukee. And he didn't have it last night. It was the right move to go to Diaz. Diaz got to get the job done.
Got to do your job, man.
Simple as that. It's a miracle the Mets have made it this far with that bullpen. Let's be real here. I mean, the bullpen is not very good. Hasn't been good all year long. But if Diaz isn't going to get the job done, who is going to get the job done? Yeah, it's Mets, Jets, Giants. This is a great week, BT. And Yankees, of course, game two tonight in the Bronx.
Yeah, and maybe I'm going to eventually file this under the be careful what you ask for stuff. But I'm really excited to watch Carlos Rodon pitch tonight. Carlos Rodon, though. Carlos Rodon's had a good year. Not a great year. Oh, God, you all listen. You and I have had a little difference of opinion on Rodon here. Yeah. I know. He's had a good year. You know, I don't want to really measure a pitcher by wins. It's obviously antiquated. But, you know, Rodon, he took the ball all the time. He was healthy, sub-4 ERA, much better home splits, which is one of the reasons Boone's giving him the baseball tonight, not game three Wednesday in Kansas City. Yankees, by the way, still have not announced who's going on Wednesday. It's either going to be Hill or Schmidt, we would imagine. 195 strikeouts. And really, when you think about Rodon's season, he only had one bad month. And that was June, where he got knocked around a little bit. I thought he finished really strong in September. His ERA was in the low twos. I think Rodon does well tonight. I do.
Yeah, and I know he's been talking about, hey, this is what he lives for, the postseason. Remember when he first got here, one of the issues that I had with him, where he talked about postseason with the Yankees, when he's hurt, I'm only here to pitch in the postseason anyway. Well, you didn't get there last year, in part because you didn't do your job. Well, now we're here. Mm. And Rodon is going to get a chance to pitch in the postseason. Here's the thing. I wouldn't be shocked either way because he's been so inconsistent, but I think he's going to be okay tonight just because I don't think the Royals lineup is any good. He may give up a homer to Witt or something, but
yep.
I don't think it's going to be... I would actually be surprised at this point if it were off the rails for Carlos Rodon against this Royals lineup.
That would really surprise me. Now, I'm not saying he goes out there 7 2/3, 3 hits, 9 whiffs, 1 run, Yankees win 6-2. I'm not saying that, but I think, so you know early with Rodon, when he can't put guys away, that's when he labors a bit. Now, he doesn't really crack too often. He's still shown this ability to battle, which I think Yankee fans have grown to appreciate because let's face it, when he first came here, everything that emitted from him, his personality, his stats, like it just gave us the sense that he ain't built for this. Like,
yeah.
He ain't wired for this, and he's not going to compete, and he's got a little quit in him. He doesn't have enough dog in him. But I think that, and like many other players who have come here and failed for both the Yankees and the Mets, the fact that he bounced back in year two, again, not a Cy Young kind of a bounce back, but a really solid one without Gerrit Cole for the first couple of the months and was really good right away to start the season, showed us he's got more mental toughness than I think some people thought.
You know, the more I think about this and look at the lineup, and yes, I've been dismissive of the Royals. It's the AL Central. Like, I just don't trust them against the Yankees. But they very easily could have won game one. Some of it's their own fault. Some of it give Yankees credit for. You know, the luck maybe went the Yankees' way with some of the calls. But the Yankees won regardless. However, if the Royals won that game, they would have been in great shape to win the series. And even so, if they win tonight, BT, the Royals, which is possible, like the more I look at the lineup and think, hey, it's not just Bobby Witt Jr. It could be Sal Perez. It could be Gurriel. It could be Pham. A lot of righties against Rodon to where if they get him early, maybe Rodon does get knocked back a little bit. And then all of a sudden you make a case where, hey, you know, this Yankee team that's been inconsistent, they got to go win a game in Kansas City.
Which, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like, it's the playoffs, man, so I'm not assuming anything.
I know, and I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's just because of this Yankee team, because of me growing up watching the Dynasty Yankees. legit bet them to sweep this series. Like, that's how little.
Oh, you did? You went specific?
It's specific.
What'd you get it at? Plus two?
I can look it up here.
Is that about right? Plus 182?
I use the Fanatics app. And
maybe
I have
more
to,
than that, actually, now that I think about it. Just to win in three straight?
I got
to
sign up here. Yeah, win three
be
straight.
Plus 200, right?
Well, that was part of the appeal, yeah. Is that I wanted. I just got to sign in. They sign me out every time I go check it out. No, I lost on the Jets yesterday.
I don't know if you knew off the top yet. Oh, you did?
No, yeah. I have it right here. It's real quick. It'll be in my bag.
I would say plus 270. It's my
Yankees
guess.
Now, wait. Where the hell would that say? Plus 402.
Oh, that's worth it.
That was a little profit boost here. Yankees, yeah. Series correct score. Yankees 3. I put $25 on it.
I like it.
Pay out 125. But anyway, so that's just now. Like, a part of it might just be me thinking Yankees postseason. A big part of it is the Royals. Like, we've seen them in the regular season, whatever. But they showed in game one that they could be a little dangerous. Mm-hmm. They still have their two best pitchers to follow here. Yankees mess around and get beat tonight, they could be in some trouble here.
I don't disagree. I mean, listen, if the Yankees didn't win the series, it would be... I mean, it would be the end of the world for people.
Oh.
I mean, they're going...
Well, Boone would get fired.
100%. They're going to win this series. I don't have any doubts
about
that.
What do you think,
that.
3 or 4?
I'm not going to say a sweep. I would say 4. Okay. I mean, I would think they'd probably find a way to get tonight, maybe lose game. I could see a sweep.
Yeah.
I would say Yanks in 3 or 4. See, the only thing that would worry me is because Cole didn't give you a lot of length the other night, and you had Clay Holmes pitching quite a bit. Obviously, Canley came in, Luke Weaver. If he's unable to put guys away and the pitch count gets, even if the Yankees win and the pitch count gets up early tonight for Rodon, that Yankees bullpen's going to be pretty tired going into Wednesday.